I'm not much of a sports nut, you could call. Never grew up with a lot of sports watching, that kind of thing. But I do remember playing hockey as I was a young guy, and I did enjoy that. But I would hate the thought of getting on a pair of skates now and grabbing a hockey stick and taking off. I just don't think that would be a very good idea. But, you know, I was... The Stanley Cup playoffs are going on right now, and so I do try to slip in a couple of games from time to time just to watch it. And I always marvel as I watched Los Angeles and Chicago are playing. Too bad there's no Canadian teams in there, but at least they're mostly Canadian players. But, you know, as I watch these players, you know, when they take a slap shot, that puck is traveling 90 miles an hour. And these players literally dive in front of that puck to protect their goalie and to protect a goal going in. And, you know, you see these guys with teeth missing and their faces are all bruised up and bloody and, you know, sticks hitting their faces and what have you. And, you know, I sometimes think, you know, that is just so amazing, all for the cause for a stupid game. Why do people do that? Why do people put themselves into such danger just for a game and knowing that they're just going to get all beat up? Yeah, sometimes it's mind-boggling to think about that. But anyways, for whatever that is worth, you know, I was thinking, can you imagine if Christians would just go ahead and take a beating like that, and, you know, if they just go out and witness to anybody, and if they got punched out, big deal. You know, it's like, for the cause of Christ, I'm going to go out there and get all beat up, you know. Imagine what life would be like. You know, it's like we'd be coming in here with broken arms and casts and black eyes and this and that, you know. But yes, I got punched out for the glory of God. But anyways, for whatever it's worth, it sure makes me think sometimes, you know, how much am I giving for the Lord's work? Well, I'm not sure if you guys have been dreaming sheep this past week or not. But we are still going to be talking about sheep. And it's always interesting, again, as we think of how God created animals and how I've been kind of comparing sheep to myself in a lot of ways. There's a lot of same characteristics. And it says in Psalm 23:2, "He leads me beside still waters." And when you begin to think of something like that, besides still waters, and what comes to mind? You know, you always think of a stream of some sort or the quiet sea. So many times as well, you drive by the Cortez here and it's like, man, sometimes it's just amazingly smooth. It's like you just wish you had a pair of skis to go on it like that. And sheep, again, are very interesting animals. Did you know that they can actually live without water for up to a couple of months? It's amazing. But sheep can actually go without water for a couple of months if the shepherd puts them in the right types of pastures. Yesterday morning, I was looking at my little garden out here at the house, and about 5:30 in the morning, it was just totally loaded with dew. It was just full of drops. I mean, I probably could have taken a cup of water or more off of all the leaves of those vine things that are growing over there. It was just amazing. And I thought, yeah, sheep can live off of that water. But the thing is, the shepherd has to get those sheep up early in the morning to be able to get out into those fields and to take that moisture off of that grass, off that grass. And they can go, like I said, for long periods of time. But it's interesting that sheep, if they don't have water in their system, they lose all vitality, they lose all their strength, they lose all their vigor, they lose everything in their bodies to keep them happy. And so they start off going out looking for water because they're thirsty. They need something to replenish their bodies. They need that water. They need that liquid. I'm not sure if you have known people that have gotten totally dehydrated, and it happens with animals too. But it's kind of a hard situation. God has given us a built-in thermostat to tell us when we're thirsty and when we're not. And when we're not thirsty, or when we're not getting enough water into our system, our body begins to react very differently. And we have pains. And I know if I'm not drinking enough water, I'll begin to have headaches. And my body just starts to slow down and I ache. And my head hurts more and more and more. And the same it is with sheep also. They become dehydrated and all of a sudden they become very restless and they don't know what to do, where to go. And they're trying to look for somebody to follow to get back into the role of living again. Dehydration, it happens when we don't have that water inside our bodies. But the good thing with a shepherd, that's where he comes in handy. It's the shepherd's job to lead those sheep to water. The shepherd always knows exactly where those best watering holes are. He always knows exactly where they are. But it's always interesting. There's always a few ewes that want to just say, no, I'm not going to follow this shepherd. I'm going to take my lambs with me and we're going to go to this little stinking pothole over here and drink. Even though there's fresh water coming as the shepherd is leading us, there's always a few of these stubborn ones that say, no, I would rather drink out of this pothole where other sheep have left dung and urine and it's full of parasites, etc. We're going to drink out of this. Because they just do that. Because they just do that. And it's like, why? When there's a whole river passing by that you can take advantage of, that nice, cool, clean, crisp water. Why do sheep do that? I don't know. I think they can just be stubborn, like the shepherd says. They're stubborn. Our good shepherd made it very clear that men and women can be satisfied through him, the true source. And as I've studied that again this past week and thinking of who the true source really is, where are we, what are we thirsting off of? A very familiar verse in Matthew chapter 5. If you've ever studied the Beatitudes that Jesus preached. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be empty, or they shall be filled, satisfied. It's satisfied. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Beatitudes speak of something very, very strong, a very strong desire in this verse.
It's almost getting a bit hot up here.
But coming from this verse, there's something that's very strong, and it's a desire here. And sometimes I think of, we have so many incredibly strong desires that go on inside of us. We want something very, very bad. And we're just going to try to get it as badly as we can. I remember when I was 13 years old, and my desire was to have a motorcycle. And man, you know, I craved a motorcycle so badly, and my neighbor had one that he wanted to sell me. It was a CB160 Honda. And I had a job, and I was earning a dollar an hour back then. And this person wanted $300 for this motorcycle. And it's like, wow, that is 300 hours I have to put in. And it's like, wow, that seems like a long ways away. But I started working, and I started saving a buck an hour. And boy, I would just put everything I possibly had away to buy that motorcycle. But I had that strong, strong, strong desire to buy it, to get it, to work hard for it, do everything that I possibly could to make that happen. A strong desire, a driving pursuit. I wanted to get there. I wanted to get to that point. I sometimes think of a driving pursuit, and I think of police chases, just driving like crazy, trying to find the bad guy to chase this car down, just driving for all it is worth to accomplish what you want to do, of getting that driver, that pursuit. This verse speaks of a passionate force within us. A passionate force, intense emotion, strong feelings. You want something so badly. I remember when I was sort of dating Susan, and as the Lord had brought her into my life, and it's like, you know, I had this strong passion for her. I just believed that God had her for me. And I think two of you guys out there, as you dated and gone through relationships, that there was something there that was very strong, very passionate, something that you wanted to grab hold of. And again, this whole verse here of Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so wanting that desire, that pursuit, that strong desire, that passionate force that is inside of us, an ambition, you could call it, a desire to achieve something, goals in life. This is what this verse is talking about, goals in life, an ambition. And we all have many goals in our lives. We always set things in front of us. Where are we going? What are we doing? I remember after we went through our mission training program and Susan and I had this goal, we are going to Venezuela. It was a far, far away goal that we had set before God. It's like, God, this looks almost like an impossibility, but this is our goal. This is what we want to do. We had that ambition to just move ahead and do everything that we could to get us to that country. We had a passion for wanting to go and serve. The thing is, we can have all kinds of passions and goals in our lives, all kinds of ambition, but you know what? So many times, there can be good ambitions and there can be bad ambitions. And the thing is, what kind of ambitions do we have? Where is it that God is taking us through? And some ambition that comes to mind over here, I think of Lucifer. Lucifer was God's most glorious creation, you could say. The most wonderful being that the Lord had ever made. And Lucifer had this consuming, restless ambition as well. He had this incredible ambition that he wanted to fulfill. He had this passion, this driving force within his mind. And what was it? It says in Isaiah 14, verse 13, it tells us what the passion of Lucifer was. I'll read it here, Isaiah 14, 13. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. His ambition was to be like God. He was hungry. He was mega hungry. But mark this. He was power hungry. He was totally power hungry. And everything that he had, that God had made for him, he wanted even something better. I want to be just like God. There's nothing wrong with resolute drive. There's nothing wrong with having great desires. The thing is, we want to have right desires. We want to have things right in perspective. And that's why we have to continually go back to Matthew 6, or 5, verse 6, and say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my desire. That is where I want to go. Food and water are totally necessary for us to live. We need it. But so is righteousness. God wants us to put on righteousness in every part of our lives. And as we get filled with our food, with our water, when we have everything that we need to drink and to eat, he wants us to have the same thing as righteousness. Putting on righteousness in our lives. And the thing is, what are the things that are consuming us as believers in Jesus Christ? What are the things that take up so much of our own time? We have to ask ourselves that. At the great feast in Jerusalem, Jesus declared boldly, "Thou hast made us." No, it says, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." If any man or woman is thirsty, let him come to me. I want to give you the water of life. I want to give you the food of life. Saint Augustine of Africa summed it up so well when he wrote, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find their rest in thee." And I sometimes think, so many times, our souls are so much thirsting for something. And we're never resting until we finally just give it all to God. Just give it to him. Here it is. David knew this as a pastor, as a shepherd. That's why he wrote, "He is good. He is the good shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters." In other words, he alone is the one that can satisfy us in the quiet, deep, clean, pure waters. He can just give us everything that we possibly can so that we will be strong and fit to live in this crazy world that we live in today. But the irony of this whole tragic situation for most Christians is that thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ is not so. Most Christians today desire not to hunger and thirst because they're so caught up into their own worlds, pursuing their own thirsts that are outside what God would have them. It's amazing how so many people pursue knowledge and science and academic careers. And many people think that they can find their satisfaction through these types of categories. And if you've ever been around some people that are very, very educated, and you begin to talk to them and you begin to realize where they're coming from, you know what? They're not happy. They haven't found satisfaction in knowledge, in science. And they continue to look and look and look, and they can't find it. They can't find contentment anywhere. And why is that? When you begin to think of how the mind is, and there's so much things that we could learn out there. The world is incredibly large. There's so much to learn. But the thing is, if we're not focused in the right thing, it's not going to be the thing that's going to meet our needs. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Those achievements just don't satisfy. And then sometimes we crave, our souls have cravings, and we begin to look into the different arts, the different cultures. People get into music. They get into literary forms. They get into all kinds of things that they think, well, if I start over here, possibly, I might be able to find the truth. If I get distracted from the things of the Lord and get involved in music, sciences, or arts, it might be enough. It might be all that I need. And again, people don't find happiness. Things like that last for only a short time. Then there are those that try to quench their thirst through physical things. I know somebody that plans a trip somewhere in the world every year. And they think that if I can see the whole world, that's going to bring me happiness. When I can see all these different cultures and countries, that's going to be the joy that I need. Some people begin to participate in sports. Hopefully we don't at this time of our lives. But some people do that. They figured, well, I'm going to get involved in sports. I've never played soccer before, so I'm going to start that. All kinds of ventures of different sorts. They begin to indulge in social activities. And the first thing that came to mind is when Susan and I used to attend these ambassador meetings in Venezuela. And it's like, it was just so ridiculous in reality. You'd be all dressed up, and you'd have all these waiters and stuff coming by, you know, and you'd pick up the little toothpick, you know, with the little hors d'oeuvre on it, you know. And then somebody would come with their tray of drinks, you know, and you'd grab your water, you'd grab your Pepsi or whatever it was. And it was all this chit-chat kind of stuff, and it would just drive me crazy at times, you know. It's like, what is this all for? And yet some people get so into that social activity. They thrive on that. But it only lasts for a little while. Then all of a sudden it's like, boy, this is getting really boring. This is really stupid, you know. Where is our fulfillment? Some people take up hobbies. They enjoy doing all kinds of things. It's a type of fulfillment that they're looking for, but they're looking at it outside of the box. Some people engage in community activities. Well, they thrive on that. And it's all good. It's all good. But what is best? What is that God wants us to focus on? And then you have people that just say, so what? Do you ever hear that saying? So what? What's the big deal? I don't care. If it's going to take me away from the Lord right now, I don't care. I have my own life. I want to do what Howard wants to do. And so many times we can just say, so what? And we don't look, first of all, how we're dishonoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't even look at the circumstances of things that are to happen in the future by saying things like, so what? Big deal. I'm going to do this, and if I have to pay the consequences later, I'll do that. And where do attitudes like that come from? We know where they come from. And that's not what God wants for us. He has given us His very best. His very best. And He wants us to enjoy that very best. It's interesting, the old ancient prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 2:13. Jeremiah put it here very bluntly when he declared, "My people, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Boy, and I sometimes wonder, Howard, what kind of cisterns do I have that just don't hold anything? I try to grab all these things in life and nothing holds, nothing sticks. It just keeps falling through the cracks. Doesn't hold water. And as Jeremiah wrote here, it's like, You foolish people. You've hewn out these cisterns that are good for nothing. And basically that's what he was saying to the people. You are looking for things that are not satisfying whatsoever. Many, many people have tried drinking deeply from the wells of the world only to be unquenched, unsatisfied. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, where are we at? Are we being quenched or are we unsatisfied? Our good shepherd, he invites us to follow. He invites us to put our confidence in him, in him alone. For he it is who best knows how we can be satisfied. He knows us through and through. He knows our human heart. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly where we are. He knows what we're thinking right now. And he knows that we might lose heart. He knows that we might totally make a turnaround. He knows where we're coming from. He knows our personality. He knows that we know that only he can satisfy. He knows that. But are we willing to dive down into that water and grab hold and drink? That we would be totally, totally drenched with dew in our lives that only he can give us. In Africa, years gone by, people dug these huge, huge wells. And they would spiral down into the ground, sometimes hundreds of feet deep, and they would be literally huge. I'm not sure, I didn't get the dimension on that. And down there would be water, fresh water. And the shepherd would take his sheep down into this hole as they would circle, going down, down, down into it. And the shepherd would just take his clothes off and get down into that water, and he would start working, pulling out these buckets of water to be able to give to his sheep, fresh, fresh water, as they would be down there, and he would give them this fresh water that they needed so desperately. And you know, as those sheep would go down into this hole, dark and dreary and probably a little bit scary and wondering, hokey smokes, does this shepherd know what he's doing, taking us down into this hole? And it didn't look very comforting. It didn't look very good. What if this thing would cave in? What if all these different things would happen as these sheep would be going down into this incredible hewed out hole? And I sometimes think the shepherd, the good shepherd, he takes us into some dark hole sometimes. He sometimes takes us through things that don't necessarily feel very good. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, where are you taking me in all this? When you think of people here in the congregation that have situations with cancer right now and different sicknesses going on, it's like, Lord, I don't understand why you are taking me through this. I don't know why. It's a little bit scary. Do I really trust you that there's going to be water at the bottom of this hole? Am I trusting you with that? Am I trusting God that you're going to take me through these times? Even though I can't see the bottom here, but you do. And there's going to be water down there that's going to quench my thirsty soul. Are we thinking about that? Yeah. Hard times. Things aren't easy. But God never said it would be easy. And it's scary. Yeah. It's scary. But you know what? When we can begin to move in that direction, when we can begin to allow God, allow Christ to work in and through us, when we begin to give everything that we have to Him, when we begin to allow Him to give us that water on a daily, daily basis, things begin to happen in our lives. Incredible things. All of a sudden, life begins to have significance. Real significance. I don't have to be trying to meet a standard up over here anymore. I don't have to be in these social clubs. I don't have to be studying to gain more knowledge in my life. I don't have to. No, that's it. You don't have to anymore. Because God's going to begin to have that significance in our lives. We'll begin to discover that I am a special object of His care. When you begin to feel that we are special in front of God. He created us. We are special in His eyes. Yeah, life changes. Dignity and direction come into the events of my life rather than other things. And you know what? All of this that we've been talking about, thirsting on the waters of Christ, it's refreshing. It's refreshing to the soul. It's like drinking that clean, clean glass of water. So good. It quenches this thirst so incredibly. Life becomes stimulating. Life becomes invigorating. Thirst for reality in this life all of a sudden becomes less. And your thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ becomes more. And the thing is, folks, Christ wants to give us that living water. He wants to give that to us. He wants to be that good shepherd in our lives. He wants to be our master. He wants to be our God, owner, boss. That's what He wants. And so many times I think, is He really asking too much? When I really begin to think about this whole thing, is our Lord asking too much of us? I don't think so. He's just wanting us to take from Him, drink off of Him, enjoy Him to the utmost. That's what He wants. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the Word of God, and thank You how You used David as a shepherd to bring so many incredible truths to light. And Father, I pray that our desire would be to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because only You can satisfy. Only You are that living water that we need so desperately. And Father, as we go through difficult times, it's nothing new to You, because You planned it. You orchestrated that all, that we wouldn't have just an easy life here on this earth. But Father, You have given us an incredible way of escape. And even though it might be gloomy at times, You're always there with us. Thank You, Father, that You are our good shepherd. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.